So we're going to read from Colossians. It's Colossians 3, 1 to 17. So you've been raised to life with Christ. Now set your heart on what is in heaven, where Christ rules at God's right side. Think about what is up there, not about what is here on earth. You died, which means that your life is hidden with Christ, who sits beside God. Christ gives meaning to your life, and when he appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Don't be controlled by your body. Kill every desire from the wrong kind of sex. Don't be immoral or indecent or have evil thoughts. Don't be greedy, which is the same as worshipping idols. God is angry with people who disobey him by doing these things. And that is exactly what you did when you lived among your people who behaved in this way. But now you must stop doing such things. You must quit being angry, hateful, and evil. You must no longer say insulting or cruel things about others, and stop lying to each other. You have given up your old way of life with its habits. Each of you is now a new person. You are becoming more and more like your Creator, and you will understand him better. It doesn't matter if you're a Greek or a Jew or a West Aucklander, I added that by the way, or if you are circumcised or not. You may even be a barbarian or a Scythian, and you may be a slave or a free person, yet Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. God loves you and has chosen you as his own special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Put up with each other. It's a pain sometimes, I added that as well. And forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. Each one of you is part of the body of Christ, and you were chosen to live together in peace. So let the peace that comes from Christ control your thoughts. And be grateful. Let the message about Christ completely fill your lives while you use all your wisdom to teach and instruct each other. With thankful hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Whatever you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks to God the Father because of him. Amen. So Paul wrote these sets of letters because of false teachings that were happening in this sort of the early church. These false teachings had started to creep in. The teachings became known as, and I promised Tonya I wouldn't crack this joke, but I'm going to anyway, so please don't tell her because she's next door. Gnosticism's like gnomes. It's not. It's Gnosticism's. Gnostics couldn't believe that God came to earth as a man, and that he walked and interacted with the world and had real relationships with people. They didn't believe, can you believe this? They didn't believe that he created the earth, but that it was an accident. It was some evil that was going on. They also believed to have a relationship with God. They also believed to have a relationship with God would require us to achieve levels of spirituality. Frightening. I don't know if I could achieve levels. That can only be done by completely removing ourselves from the world. They even thought that this wacky, crazy church of loving people who Christ walks with in the world They didn't believe in that. In fact, the Gnostics would head for the hills. And like anything, when we read something in the Bible and we don't agree with it, they sought to change its meaning to suit their thinking. I mean, I'm thankful that this is not true, but how easy is it to move away from the truth of the Bible? I mean, it's so easy. Change a few words here, add a little bit here, think something slightly different to suit what we believe. Actually, suit the way that we are living at the moment. It's so easy. So Paul sends these letters to deal with this situation, and he talked about how people could achieve spirituality. So what I want to do now is I'm going to just quickly talk you through three sort of examples that people believed, and I actually think people believe this today. Okay, so number one, seeking that special experience as a result of one dramatic moment where God, by the Holy Spirit, puts everything right in our lives. All sin ever is eradicated, and you are lifted to fullness. And by the way, just so you know, I'm not saying that this couldn't happen. And I pray that it happens for people that I know. But it reminds me of with my son, when my son was a lot younger, we used to do quite a bit of traveling together. We used to go down to Huddersfield quite a bit. And we used to play, I don't know, has anyone ever done this before? Played Count All the White Vans? Have you ever tried it? It's fantastic. And we had hours of fun, and it worked, because what it did was it stopped him saying, "Are we there yet?" And it really worked. Now, the difficulty is that we're looking, I was driving probably, honestly, sometimes. We look for the white vans. We're focused looking for this special experience that is going to change our whole lives. And what we actually do is we miss the opportunities that God has already given us that might be small in our eyes but big in God's eyes. We miss the opportunity around us to grow and to develop and to grow in our faith. There are people today who are waiting for this special experience, who have put their life on hold. And actually, Paul tells us it's the complete opposite. He says, live this new life that Christ has given you. He doesn't say put it on hold. Live this life that Christ has given you. So that's number one. Number two, creating rules to reach this, you know, this kind of fullness of with God. Maybe we do without chocolate for Lent. You know, we think, well, Lent's coming, what I'll do is I'll do without something. Well, I like chocolate. I'll do without it and I'm sorted. You know, even happens today. Only eat fish on a Friday, because that sorts things out. Maybe you're so worried about upsetting people, and you're so worried about saying something wrong that you constantly walk around the world with your guard up. And that behavior makes you become closed and distant. Maybe you create some traditions. What one of the traditions we used to have, I know I'm talking about Christmas, so I apologize, but one of the traditions that we used to have when I was a lot younger as a family, we used to have one of these big, massive crackers, and my grandma always made this cracker. So every year, without fail, she'd stuff it with naff. Do you know what I mean? It was brilliant, though. We were like, you know, things. Christmas hadn't even started unless we had this cracker. Unfortunately, one year, she wasn't able to do it because she wasn't very well, and it was like something had been. It was missing. This bit of card with a bit of tissue paper wrapped around it with some toys in it. And it's funny how we get sucked into tradition. We develop lists. Some people live their lives around building lists to deal with every situation, every eventuality, you know? And do you know the frightening thing is, and I'm talking to me, by the way, we say to ourselves, that pleases God. The very God who tells us that we are free in Christ. You know, where our attention to detail and adherence to traditions we've created moves us further away from a relationship with others. Got to get this done. Sorry, can't do anything. Can't hang around people. Need to get this done. Even fellowship with Christ gets put on hold because we've got prescribed tasks that need to be completed, because we think that we are glorifying God. I say, stop. If what you're doing is creating a barrier from you having a fellowship, a relationship with Jesus, stop. Stop. God, I'm talking to me as well. So this is a thought that's about living a good and measured life, apparently. And number three, I don't know if this happens to some people. It certainly happens at the early church. And this is about extravagance and about wastefulness and about recklessness. Some have responded that our bodies, so some people, and even today, think that our bodies are separate to our spirit. That no matter what we do to our bodies, our spirit remains intact. So fulfillment is achieved through some kind of special tradition or ritualistic observation. So, you know, the classic example, I'll come to church on Sunday, I'm sorted for the rest of the week. You know, I don't need to bother about living what I do during the week. It's absolutely fine. I come to church on a Sunday. That's it. You know, it's like I will do anything I want, even if it's not good for me. Because being at church on a Sunday will help me spiritually. Well, actually, what Jesus tells us is that our body and our spirit is entwined. The way that we live our life in this world affects us, both our body and our minds and our spirit. That's the harsh bit, guys. That was the bit I was really nervous about. Can I just say that? So what does fulfillment look like? Well, to be like Christ and with Christ. So this is in verse 4, Colossians 3, verse 4. Christ gives us meaning in your life. And when he appears, you will also appear with him in glory. And we do this in two ways. We can have meaning through the material world, or we can have meaning through spiritual, through Jesus, through God. If we rely purely on earthly, we get dragged back into our old ways, don't we? You know, if we focus on the old stuff, that we get pulled in. It happens all the time. It happens to me. You know, one of the biggest things I'm working on is food. I love my food. And so easily, I can eat. I get dragged in. What Jesus says, don't look at the material world. Look at me. Look at the spiritual world. We live as Christ in the material world. We're not part of the material world. So to be more spiritual, if you like, to be more like Jesus, and to be more like Jesus, we need to be closer to him. We might be tempted to think we should lock ourselves in our rooms away from the world in an attempt to be closer to Jesus. I don't know if anyone's ever done that, you know, where the world just, things just get on top of you so much that you can't cope with it. Well, actually, what Jesus tells us to do the opposite. He says, if you want to know Jesus more, you do things for him. We're going to talk about that in a little while. When in reality, we should be out in the world being the light in the darkness. So in Colossians 3, verse 12, God loves you and has chosen you as his own special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. So when we're doing the stuff, and I'm talking about the stuff for Jesus, we are actually might find that we'll meet him, that we'll learn to know him more when we're doing this stuff with him. So how? Well, we seek out opportunities to serve and to depend on the Lord. Adrian, just before I got to talk, we talked about the Syrians, and it's this really difficult phrase that we have in the Bible that God is our strength in our weaknesses. And when you're feeling at the weak and at rock bottom, the last thing you're really thinking of sometimes is Jesus. But what Jesus tells us is he's there. He's in our weakness. He's in that moment. God has made him and his will for our lives known in his word, the Bible. Remember that we have learned not for information, but by spiritual wisdom and understanding. Colossians 9 to 11. Basically, apply what you have learned and using this wisdom to guide through the choices we need to make in our lives. Through this process, God himself will actively work in our lives. And produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Galatians 5:22 in our lives with God's wisdom. I used to, before I've got back into sort of full-time employment, I used to be self-employed. And I used to work with a guy who came up with some really interesting quotes, but one of the things that always sticks in my mind, and I might have mentioned this before, is that it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know that makes the difference. And that's what God's telling us. You know, you can sit and read the Bible, and we need to read the Bible, but unless you actually do something with it, where do the fruits come from? He wasn't a Christian. What I'd like to do now, if I can, is I'm going to play a video, if it all works. And this particular video is it's a ministry. Anyone from Middlesbrough? No? Oh, that's all right then. That's good. It's a ministry in Middlesbrough. And for me, this really represents what I believe Paul is trying to talk about. That we walk, if we truly walk in the Spirit, if we truly want to have a relationship with Jesus, that is not something that we can do by being removed from the world, but it is living in this world, not influenced by it, but living in it. Has anyone heard of 68.5 as an organization? So they work in quite a rough area of Middlesbrough. I'm sure you noticed a few of the pictures with some of the streets boarded up. So this guy went out into the world. He went out into his community. And he did what God's told us, to go and be the light in the darkness. I want to finish off if I can now. So if this week you do want to go out there and actually do the stuff not hide or detach yourself from the world? Why not ask someone to pray for you today? You know, pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit so that you can live in the world, changing the world, but are not influenced by it. You know, maybe this morning you want to know more about Jesus and you want to continue on this journey and you want somebody to pray for you, then please ask. There's loads of Christians in this room. Anybody will pray for you. Come and see me if you wish. I want to finish where Paul started in Galatians 3. So, and I'd like to refer this to us all. So please, you know, I apologize, but ladies and gentlemen, you have been raised to life with Christ. Now set your heart on what is in heaven, where Christ rules at God's right side. Think about what is up there, not about what is on earth. You died, which means that your life is hidden with Christ, is with Christ, who sits beside God. Christ gives you meaning to your life, and when he appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Amen.